Welcome to Ujjayini.com, your daily current affairs companion for UPSC and state PCs preparation. Imagine a nation standing at the crossroads of fiscal prudence and bold investment, where a single document released on 1st February 2026 sets the tone for the next 12 months of policy, infrastructure and social welfare. That document is the Union Budget 2026-27, presented by Finance Minister Nirmala Sitharaman in Parliament, the centerpiece of India's budgetary calendar. First, let us set the scene. The budget session of Parliament opened on 24th January 2026, and 2 days before the budget, on 30th January, the Economic Survey 2025-26 was tabled by Chief Economic Advisor V. Anantha Nageswaran. The budget itself marks the 9th consecutive budget presented by Ms. Sitharaman and the 8th full budget, because the 2024-25 budget in July 2024 is counted as an additional one after the interim budget of February 2024. Now, moving to the core fiscal numbers. The total estimated expenditure for 2026-27 stands at 53,47,315 crore rupees, roughly 53.5 lakh rupees crore, which is a 7.7% increase over the revised estimates of the previous year. Capital expenditure is earmarked at 12.2 lakh rupees crore, translating to 3.1% of GDP, while effective capital expenditure, which includes grants in aid for capital projects to the states, rises to 17.1 lakh rupees crore, or 4.4% of GDP. The fiscal deficit is projected at 4.3% of GDP, a slight improvement from 4.4% the year before, and the revenue deficit is set at 1.5% of GDP. Gross market borrowings total 17.2 lakh rupees crore, with net borrowings of 11.7 lakh rupees crore. Central government debt OCP stands at 55.6%, against a fiscal responsibility target of 50% by March 2031 under the FRBM path. Why is this significant? The Constitution provides the legal backbone. Article 112 mandates the Union Budget as the annual financial statement. Article 110 defines a money bill, and Article 265 declares that no tax can be levied except by law. The finance bill, introduced alongside the budget, gives legal force to the tax proposals, while the appropriation bill authorizes the expenditure from the Consolidated Fund of India, which itself is defined under Article 266. Turning to the tax domain, the headline personal income tax change is not a fresh slab revision. The new Income Tax Act 2025, which replaces the Income Tax Act 1961 from 1st April 2026, consolidates 65 years of legislation into a streamlined code. The slab rates under the new regime were already revised in the 2025-26 budget and remain unchanged for assessment year 2027-28. Under the new regime, salaried individuals enjoy zero effective tax up to 12 lakh rupees, thanks to the Section 87A rebate, and the new regime is now the default. The old regime with exemptions requires an explicit opt-out. Several tax rationalizations accompany the new act. The tax collected at source, TCS, on liberalized remittance scheme, LRS, remittances for education or medical purposes falls from 5% to 2%, easing the burden on students studying abroad. TCS on overseas tour packages is now a uniform 2%, replacing the earlier tiered rates of 5 to 20%. The minimum alternate tax, MAT, for companies under the old corporate tax regime drops from 15% to 14%. Conversely, securities transaction tax, STT, on certain derivatives is nudged up from 0.1% to 0.15%, a modest revenue-enhancing measure. Cancer drugs and medicines for rare diseases become fully exempt from customs duty, a major relief for patients. The tax holiday for International Financial Services Center, IFSC, entities is extended from 10 to 20 years, after which a 15% rate will apply. Finally, customs duty on personal use goods is halved from 20% to 10%. Now, let us talk about the Rural Employment Flagship. The Mahatma Gandhi National Rural Employment Guarantee Scheme, MGNREGS, has been restructured into the VBG Ram G Scheme, Viksit Bharat, Guarantee for Rojgar and Ajivika Mission. The guaranteed days of employment per household rise from 100 to 125 days a year. The allocation for this revamped scheme is 95,692 crore rupees, while the older MGNREGS category is trimmed to 30,000 crore rupees, a 66% reduction. In addition to wage employment, the new scheme incorporates livelihood linkages and skill convergence components. The Constitutional Foundation rests on the Directive Principles of State Policy, Article 41, the right to work, and Article 43, the right to a living wage, while the statutory basis is the Mahatma Gandhi NREGS Act 2005. Moving on to major sector allocations and new missions. The Biopharma Shakti Mission receives 10,000 crore rupees over 5 years to boost biologics and biosimilars, with 3 new National Institutes of Pharmaceutical Education and Research, NIPERs, and 7 upgrades. A SME Growth Fund of 10,000 crore rupees is earmarked for high-potential small and medium enterprises. Electronics Components Manufacturing sees its allocation swell to 40,000 crore rupees, up from 22,919 crore rupees. A new container manufacturing scheme is introduced with 10,000 crore rupees over 5 years. The Carbon Capture, Utilization and Storage, CCUS, mission gets 20,000 crore rupees for 5 years, targeting hard-to-abate sectors. City economic regions will receive 5,000 crore rupees per region for urban cluster development. The Bharat Vistar platform, an AI-driven multilingual agricultural advisory service, is funded at 150 crore rupees. FAST's 2026 offers a 6-month foreign asset disclosure amnesty. AVGC Content Creator Labs will be set up in 15,000 secondary schools and 500 colleges. Finally, ISM 2.0, the India Semiconductor Mission, focuses on equipment, materials and industrial R&D. Now, a quick look at the economic survey highlights. Real GDP growth for FY26, according to the National Statistical Office's first advance estimate, is 7.4%, with gross value added growth at 7.3%. The projection for FY27 lies between 6.8% and 7.2%. Consumer price inflation for April-December 2025 averaged a historic low of 1.7%. Foreign exchange reserves stand at $701.4 billion US dollars, enough to cover 11 months of imports. Gross GST collections for the same period total 17.4 lakh rupees crore, a 6.7% year-on-year rise. Gross non-performing assets in September 2025 are 2.2%, the lowest in over a decade. Female labor force participation has risen to 41.7% for 2023-24, up from 23.3% in 2017-18. The production-linked incentive, PLI, schemes have attracted 2 lakh rupees crore of investment, generating 18.7 lakh rupees crore of output and 12.6 lakh jobs. Total exports in FY25 reached 825.3 billion US dollars, a 6.1% increase, while services exports hit a record 387.6 billion US dollars, up 13.6%. Remittances hit a new high of 135.4 billion US dollars. Infrastructure receives a dedicated push. 7 high-speed rail corridors, dubbed growth connectors, will link major economic zones as part of the broader PM Gati Shakti vision. The dedicated freight corridor network is extended from Dankuni in West Bengal to Surat in Gujarat, further integrating the manufacturing belt. 20 national waterways are slated for operationalization, with funding for dredging and inland water transport infrastructure. A coastal cargo promotion scheme will incentivize shifting freight from road and rail to sea, reducing carbon emissions and costs. A viability gap funding scheme for seaplanes aims to improve regional connectivity to islands and coastal destinations. Finally, the newly announced city economic regions will receive 5,000 crore rupees each over 5 years to foster cluster-based urban growth. Turning to international economics, the Canada-India Ministerial Energy Dialogue, CIMD, has been relaunched, resetting bilateral ties after the Niger episode. Canada supplies about a quarter of India's potash imports, a critical input for agriculture. The first Canada-India Critical Minerals Annual Dialogue is scheduled for March 2026 in Toronto, focusing on lithium, cobalt, and graphite supply chains. A 10-year uranium supply agreement worth $2.8 billion is expected. Trade between the two countries aims to reach $50 billion by 2030, up from the current roughly $30.9 billion, and negotiations on a comprehensive economic partnership agreement have been accelerated. Now, let us shift to the 16th Finance Commission, chaired by Dr. Arvind Panagaria. The Commission recommends that 41% of the divisible pool continue to be devolved vertically to the states, unchanged from the previous Commission. A new horizontal formula adds a GDP contribution weight of 10% while dropping the tax effort parameter. Total grants for 2,02,631 are projected at 9.47 lakh rupees crore, with 4.4 lakh rupees crore for rural local bodies, 3.6 lakh rupees crore for urban local bodies, and 2,04,401 crore rupees for disaster management. The Commission proposes a state fiscal deficit ceiling of 3% of GSDP and a central target of 3.5% of GDP by 2030-31. Moreover, it recommends the closure of 308 inactive state public sector enterprises. A brief note on the parliamentary process: the budget session runs in two parts, late January to mid-March and then mid-March to May. The finance bill gives statutory force to the tax proposals, while the appropriation bill authorizes spending from the Consolidated Fund of India, defined under Article 266. The Contingency Fund of India, under Article 267, holds a corpus of 500 crore rupees for unforeseen expenditures, subject to parliamentary ratification. The Finance Commission, per Article 280, determines the devolution of central taxes to the states, now in its 16th iteration. Now, let us lock in the key facts and numbers for your revision. The total expenditure is 53,47,315 crore rupees, a 7.7% rise. Capital outlay is 12.2 lakh rupees crore, and effective capital outlay reaches 17.1 lakh rupees crore. Fiscal deficit stands at 4.3% of GDP, revenue deficit at 1.5%. Gross market borrowings total 17.2 lakh rupees crore, net borrowings 11.7 lakh rupees crore, and central debt to GDP is 55.6%. Income tax slabs remain unchanged from the 2,02,526 revision, but the new Income Tax Act 2025 takes effect on 1st April 2026. MAT falls to 14%, STT on certain derivatives rises to 0.15%, IFSC tax holiday extends to 20 years, and customs duty on cancer drugs and rare disease medicines is eliminated. TCS on overseas education remittances drops to 2%, and customs duty on personal use goods house to 10%. The new tax regime slabs run from nil up to 4 lakh rupees, 5% for 48 lakh rupees, 10% for 812 lakh rupees, 15% for 1216 lakh rupees, 20% for 1620 lakh rupees, 25% for 2024 lakh rupees, and 30% above 24 lakh rupees, with an effective zero tax up to 12 lakh rupees after rebate. Defense allocation is 7,84,678 crore rupees, 14.7% of total, with capital outlay of 2,19,000 crore rupees, a 24% rise. Railways capital spending is 2,93,030 crore rupees, up 10.5%. Agriculture receives 1,40,529 crore rupees, with the PM Kisan scheme at 63,500 crore rupees. Education is allocated 1,39,289 crore rupees, a 14% increase, and health gets 1,06,530 crore rupees, up 10%. Under the VBG Ramji scheme, employment days rise to 125 per household, with a total allocation of 95,692 crore rupees. The PM Awas Yojana, Grameen, gets 54,917 crore rupees, a 69% jump, and the Pradhan Mantri Gram Sadak Yojana receives 19,000 crore rupees, a 73% rise. The Biopharma Shakti Mission, the SME Growth Fund, the Upgraded Electronics Components Manufacturing Allocation, the CCUS Mission, the Container Manufacturing Scheme, and the FASTS 2026 Foreign Asset Disclosure Scheme are all flagship initiatives with budgets ranging from 10 crore rupees to 20 lakh rupees crore. From the economic survey, remember, real GDP growth for FY26 is 7.4%, CPI inflation for April-December 2025 is a record low 1.7%, Forex reserves sit at $701.4 billion US dollars, female labor force participation is 41.7%, remittances hit $135.4 billion US dollars, and services exports reached an all-time high of $387.6 billion US dollars. Constitutional provisions to note: Article 112 for the annual financial statement, Article 110 for money bills, Article 265 for taxation, Article 266 for the consolidated fund, Article 267 for the contingency fund, and Article 280 for the finance commission, currently chaired by Dr. Arvind Panagaria. Now, how does this connect to your UPSC preparation? For GS2, the budgetary process, fiscal consolidation targets, and the role of the Finance Commission are classic questions. The new Income Tax Act, the tax rationalizations, and the shift to the new tax regime are prime GS3 material on taxation reforms. The restructuring of MGNREGS into VBG Ramji touches upon directive principles of state policy, Articles 41 and 43, and the Mahatma Gandhi NREGS Act. Infrastructure projects such as high-speed rail corridors, dedicated freight corridor extensions, and national waterways provide fodder for questions on transport policy and urban planning. The Canada-India reset, potash dependence, critical minerals dialogue, and the uranium supply deal are all relevant for international relations and economic diplomacy. The 16th Finance Commission's new horizontal formula, vertical devolution percentage, and disaster fund corpus are directly testable facts. Shifting focus to the environment, on the eve of World Wetlands Day, India added to Ramsar sites, bringing the national total to 98, the highest in Asia. The Charidhand Wetland Complex in Kutch, Gujarat, covers about 80 square kilometers at peak monsoon, supports up to 30,000 common cranes, and is a crucial stopover for the critically endangered sociable lapwing and vulnerable common pochard. The Patna Bird Sanctuary in Eta, Uttar Pradesh, is less than 1 square kilometer but harbors 178 bird species and 252 plant species, serving as an important bird and biodiversity area on the Central Asian Flyway. India became a contracting party to the Ramsar Convention on 1 February 1982. The convention itself was signed on 2 February 1971. The 2026 World Wetlands Day theme, the Wetland Climate Nexus and Blue Carbon, underscores the role of coastal wetlands in sequestering carbon at 3 to 5 times the rate of tropical forests, a priority in India's nationally determined contributions. Finally, a breakthrough from the world of science. NASA has released EXAMINER++, an open-source deep learning model for exoplanet detection. The model analyzes photometric light curves from space telescopes, identifying the characteristic dip in stellar brightness when a planet transits its host star. It distinguishes genuine transits from false positives such as background binaries and instrumental artifacts, and it offers explainable AI outputs with confidence scores and reasoning pathways. Trained on data from the Kepler mission and the transiting exoplanet survey satellite, TESS, EXAMINER++ has already flagged roughly 7,000 new exoplanet candidates from test data. Future applications include the upcoming Nancy Grace Roman Space Telescope, slated for launch around 2027, which will survey about 100 million stars. The open-source release invites global collaboration and removes computational bottlenecks in planetary science. Now, how does this tie into UPSC? For prelims, remember the transit photometry method, the Kepler and TESS missions, the count of about 7,000 new candidates, and the forthcoming Roman telescope. For mains, you can discuss AI applications in astronomy, open-source scientific tools, and the broader context of India's own space program through ISRO. In sum, the Union Budget 2026-27 weaves together fiscal prudence, targeted capital spending, tax simplification, rural employment overhaul, ambitious infrastructure, and strategic international partnerships. Coupled with the Economic Survey's robust growth outlook, the addition of 2 Ramsar wetlands, and NASA's EXAMINER++ release, the day offers a rich tapestry of facts and concepts that are essential for any UPSC aspirant. Keep these numbers, constitutional provisions, and thematic linkages at the forefront of your revision, and you will be well prepared to tackle both prelims and mains questions on current affairs.